Take it from me, Herb Bottleneck. It's Video Games Hot Dog for 2/9/12. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Hot Stuff.
Thanks for another
fricative
for another,
versus labial
thanks
debate.
For another labial episode of Video Games. Thanks. Thanks for it, guys. Thanks in advance.
And I think you meant Kevin.
How?
Fuck, did I do it? Did I literally do that? Well, that completes the circle.
Yeah. How you guys been? Other than fucking everything up all the time, as usual.
Yeah.
Fucked anything up?
I've been fucking lots of things up.
Woo!
Like what?
Name one.
You'll discover.
You'll find out as you leave the office.
What's shaking, Kevin?
Idiot Rod. Fuck.
Oh yeah, was that your rant?
That's my general feelings about that.
We participated in the Riff didn't because Riff doesn't like to drink, and this was very much a drinking event. We participated.
Also,
in the
it was outdoors.
Idiot Rod.
In the sun.
He doesn't like. Yeah, he doesn't like getting up early. He doesn't like. Having to talk to dudes.
Yeah, these are all things that we
he
had to do.
He doesn't like having drunk mime bitches break things that he spent
Jesus
a lot of time building.
Christ.
Yeah.
I felt bad for you in particular.
Why?
Because you had you were organizing this thing. You sort of thought of the theme. You got everything together. And then people just almost literally shat on it all day long.
Yeah, it was against the rules for them to literally throw feces.
So they did like
we should have,
as
we
close
should have
as possible.
Generalized from this rule. There was an explicitly spelled out rule: do not throw any excrement.
Yeah, and so yeah,
so yeah, the fact that that rule
had to be
necessary.
Stated. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But nowhere did they say oh, by the way, don't wear any nice clothes that you wouldn't mind just being ripped to shreds or lit on fire or something.
God,
don't. For those of you who haven't listened to the other podcasts where I'm just yelling about this, yeah, including the one that probably won't be released until after this one.
Oh,
so there's that at least. Yeah, the Idiot-a-Rod was a shopping cart race. Where people, made a shopping cart and dressed up in costumes.
Well, they took a regular shopping cart and decorated it.
Well, I mean, fuck. I
yeah.
made.
I know.
I made that
I know.
Shopping
that's,
cart.
That's
yeah.
why I felt particularly bad
yeah.
for you.
That was a lot of Legos. Yeah, really expensive. That'd be a pretty good theme, making a shopping cart out of Legos. I'd be really pissed off when somebody broke that.
Yeah.
No, because it would just pop into Legos and you pick the Legos up.
Well, it'd be hard to put it back together in short notice.
Mm. Yeah, that's the problem. It was the idea of it was a lot of fun. In my head, it was going to be a lot of fun because it was just going to be a bar crawl that traversed a lot more territory than you might normally do a bar crawl on, with a bunch of people dressed up. So it was sort of like a roving party kind of thing. But it wasn't that at all. It was a bunch of people dressed up and then throwing food and stuff specifically designed to stain and fuck up other things at each other. And then...
drawing dicks on each other's
hearts,
stuff.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that the suit that I just recently acquired isn't fucked up because it's at the dry cleaners now, and I'll see if they were able to get all the shit out of it that people threw at me or rubbed on my shit. Or...
the thing that was probably going to do the most damage to my suit was one of the things that was actually put on by the organizers, the little human centipede crawl that we
I
had
just,
to do.
I took off my pants.
Oh, right.
Because I wasn't going to crawl through that shit.
I'm glad I wasn't behind you.
Well, yeah.
That would have gotten creepy. I'm glad there were several layers of clothes between me
we
and the smell of the
all
dude's ass.
Extremely drunk by that point.
Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered. It just wouldn't have mattered.
I am so glad I missed this.
Yeah. So yeah, one of the checkpoints was they made everybody put on a pair of briefs, like a big pair of briefs out of this box that they had. The briefs had an extra strap
sewn
onto the back
loop
of the waistband.
The
and you had to put your head through the strap of the waistband in front of you and then traverse a slip and slide that they covered with dish soap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big of a deal.
It went super quick.
The dish soap cleaned off all of the mud and beans and cotton candy and shit that the other teams had covered us with.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
What were some of the other challenges? There was one challenge where we were supposed to stand by a target while somebody flung a water balloon filled with lubricant at it. And I was like, I looked at the rest of us all in our suits and I was like, what if we just don't want to do that? And he's like, you have to drink 5 beers. I was like,
Okay.
Done. Yeah, that was super trivial.
There was one where one of us had to throw a dart at a dartboard that was divided into sections numbered from 1 to 5, and that was how many electric shocks the other members of the team had to receive. Or you could bribe them. And I said, well, so it would like a would an additional $20 contribution to the charity be a sufficient bribe? And she said, yes, it would. And I said, okay, but I still want to throw the dice.
He threw it. He hit a one.
I hit a one. Yeah. So
only one of us
wasn't
had
that big
shot.
Of a deal. But,
that's true sportsmanship.
I was in the spirit of it at that point. I mean, I was making a $20 sacrifice.
The first hour and a half or so was miserable. It was just miserable. It was a
until
bunch of
you were drunk enough.
Until we were
care.
Drunk
until
we enough were that we didn't care.
Well, until and we were far enough behind everybody else because they were actually racing.
I see.
So like we just
sat around for. We took like a half an hour break at one of the checkpoints to eat lunch.
Yeah. We at the very first checkpoint where like we went into one of the bars, we like left our cart outside and went in and got a drink. Came out after like the requisite 20 minutes you're supposed to stay at this place, and somebody had just ripped our cart like in half, basically.
Huh. And, like it was made to be a crate that was supposedly, you know, whatever we were guarding in our crazy secret agent outfits, but there was fucking nothing in there. There was obviously nothing in there.
Yeah.
But somebody was like, "Oop, got to see what's in this cart."
So they ripped
oh,
off the top.
Nothing. Now we've just destroyed.
Yeah. So we had to like repair that, and like we had stuff in there that they could have stolen and didn't. So that was at least somewhat of a positive.
Yeah, my jaw bag jam sack was in there.
Yep. Your tuck sack. Your
it's really
sack.
A jam bag jaw box.
Jawbone jam box.
Jawbone jam box, yeah. But I bought it so that I could use it inside a wet environment, so I need to put it inside a bag. So yeah. It's the jaw sack. Jaw bag jam
he
sack.
He bought it, and then like the first thing he did with it was put it in a plastic bag and put it under running water in the sink to make sure that it would work.
Yeah, just to make sure that. So I wanted to make sure that a bag would actually protect it from water and that I would be able to hear it.
Yeah. Did it sound like it was coming from underwater?
No.
Glub, it didn't. Glub, glub.
It neither sounded like it was coming from underwater nor from within a bag.
Okay.
Which is good, right? Yeah. That's what I want. I want to just be able to listen to it like I was listening to it.
Yeah, I can't listen to my bathroom speakers most days anymore because they bother my girlfriend because I have to listen to them so loud. She can't just like put in earplugs because she drives her crazy.
Huh.
Yeah, it makes me sad.
Well, that's probably going to be the same case when I start doing it, but I'm not going
to
stop.
Well, she won't be able to hear you from across the house.
You can start using my shower, buddy.
Oh. Yeah.
You can't
steam
start,
room.
You can't start using my shower.
Oh.
So we did the Idiot Rod, and that was more or less it. I spent an entire day
making a
cart.
Cart. Yeah.
I heard Emily had to kick a dude in the face to stop him from attacking the wheels with a drill.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, and somebody else still got a screw into one of our wheels.
Yep. I wanted to kick some bitches in the face for just leaping into the cart and totally breaking the lid.
Yeah.
Drunk mime bitches.
There was
the team was clever. They didn't actually have a cart. They were pretending to push a cart.
Yeah. Dressed as mimes. Yeah, that was, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't.
It was clever, except that they just got, shitty drunk in the first hour of the thing, and then we're just being a belligerent nuisance for the rest of the time.
Yeah. The Monty Python team was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Their cart was like a giant, like,
the
Trojan horse.
Trojan rabbit.
Rabbit kind of thing.
Their costumes were really good.
Yeah.
They were really, like, authentic. Like
20 team members, though, as when you're only supposed to have five. So
they had every character.
Wow.
Yeah. From the Holy Grail.
Including that.
Some of them were Monty Python guys, though. You know, they'll just go around yelling things from Monty Python. It's like, okay, guys, cool. I'm going to refer to you to this XKCD comic, which pretty succinctly, is a reasonable justification for knock it the fuck off. Like, the Monty Python guys wouldn't want you to do this.
Yeah.
Right.
Stop it. You know, Monty Python's funny, though.
Yeah.
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 Did
you do anything else besides besides your Idiot Arad?
No, just not sleeping very much, and
you're getting like a new
I'm getting
room
some remodeling done in my house, and so I'm coming into work early and just spending a lot of time just staring at the screen, unable to actually do anything productive. Huh. We don't have a spare bed in here anymore because it's on the wall.
There are multiple spare beds at home, though.
Well, yeah, but that's somebody else's bed.
You could
I can only look. I live my life by the Skyrim code. I only get the buff if I sleep in a bed that I own.
So in Skyrim, when you look at a bed and it says owned.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that means.
Does that mean somebody else owns it?
I think that means somebody else owns it.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless it's like, it's implying that you just ejaculated on the bed. So you're like,
owned.
Yes. I actually played a little bit of Skyrim this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah, because this is both what you've been playing and news all rolled into one, but that texture pack was released for the PC. So they released the creation kit, mm-hmm. right? The F-U-C-K or whatever it's called. Uh-huh. And the frigid... What does the U stand for?
I don't know.
Because the Gek was the Fallout one, because it was the Garden of Eden creation kit. It was based on an actual in-game thing. Yeah.
Fartin of Erden creation kit.
Yes, Fartin of Erden.
Anyway, yes.
But it also came with like a 3 gig additional texture, but like a high-res texture pack for the PC version. So I'm like, I'm going to see what this looks like. And also start a new character and try some thiefy stuff. So I played for like a half an hour as a thief with the new textures. Would not have noticed. Like... Huh. I went online and I'm like, I wonder if I actually did it right, because, you know, this doesn't seem like that big of a deal. And I looked at some screenshots that were like comparisons, and it was like, okay, that's kind of more detail, but it's still
I don't feel like it needs more detail.
It's still a video game. When you walk up to something, it's still pretty blurry when all you can see is a single knot hole.
I have a problem where when you walk up to something, you actually bring your face closer to the screen, though. And that has an impact on how blurry things are.
Sure. And I because of that, I can't play with my glasses because I'm afraid that they'll scratch my monitor.
Right. When it turns out that actually your cat is scratching your monitor.
Sure. Yeah, it turns out my cat is scratch. There was a scratch appeared in the iPad, the company iPad. And I was like, what the fuck? Can't take you anywhere, iPad, without dropping you and scratching you or something. But it turns out it was my cat. Somehow.
Does the iPad have cat scratch fever?
No, the iPad, I should never have downloaded that fleeing mouse game
yeah.
app.
I was just going to ask if Ada's been playing Angry Birds or something.
Mm.
Have you seen any videos of cats playing video games? No. Cats can play Fruit Ninja pretty well.
Yeah, saw that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're capable of not slashing at the bombs. Every once in a while, my cat will sit on my lap and just watch me play video games.
Aww,
I think she's mostly
that's super
like,
sweet.
Is that mouse cursor something that I want to eat? And no, it's
not. Turns out it's not cheese.
No. Yeah, so I played a little bit of Skyrim sneaking around.
Yeah.
I broke into some people's houses and stole some stuff, some jewelry off their dressers and stuff. And then I went to one of their beds and it said owned. So I think that means somebody else owns it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is super ambiguous, though.
That is super ambiguous.
It tells you somewhere in some tooltip you can get a bonus by sleeping in an owned bed.
Your own bed, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it looks like when you own
it's
one.
Well-rested versus, like, very well-rested or something. Or rested versus well-rested,
yeah.
I think, are the differences.
I don't think I ever once was playing with that buff in place. It just wasn't... It wasn't a sufficient...
Yeah. I did it once, but, like, only because my intention was to grind a skill.
Mm.
Like, they give you buffs that last for real life hours, right? Like, this buff will last for 7 hours or 8 hours or whatever. And that's like real life hours to the point where
Are they real life hours? I assume they were in game hours.
They're not. To the point where if you stop playing the game and come back tomorrow, the buff is gone because you've missed those buff hours.
Huh.
Yeah, it is a weird
system. And yet if you wait 8 hours in the game, the buff is still there.
Well, okay, that I've not tried, but time passes way faster in the game. So if it wasn't 8 hours in real life, you would notice.
And I guess it wouldn't make any sense for them to say this buff lasts 8 hours, but they mean 8 hours of game time, which is, you know, one thing that I did notice today was the fucking shadows just driving me crazy.
Yeah. Sorry I pointed that out.
I can't unsee it now. Why does it work that way, man?
I don't know.
Why? You guys been playing any video games?
I played a couple things. The little thing I played was Ghost Trick Phantom Detective, which was a DS game by the creator of Phoenix Wright, and it just came out on iOS last week.
Is it another like courtroom drama?
No, it's the plot is that you are a dude who has been murdered, and you're now a ghost with no memories of who you are or what has happened, and you have. When the sun comes up, your ghost is going to dissolve. And so before that happens, you have to figure out what is going on. And the main way that you're trying to do this is by constantly rescuing this lady detective who is trying to be...
Trying to solve your murder?
Well, no. She's trying to solve something that is... I haven't gotten very far in the plot yet, but she's trying to solve something that is undoubtedly connected to your murder,
right?
And people are trying to assassinate her.
And so you're saving her from those assassins.
Yeah, and the
do you go up behind them and go boo?
Well, what you do is you have the ability to possess inanimate objects.
Okay.
And most...
like their guns and shoot them?
Well, no. stuff in the background, like fridges.
Okay.
Or carts or a vacuum cleaner or whatever. And most things that you occupy will have one trick that you can do.
Ooh, can you possess like an old floppy drive controller and play the Imperial March on it?
I haven't seen that one yet. Possibly.
Could you possess a melodica?
Okay.
And play a Jurassic Park theme song.
So, for example, it's like a sequence of puzzles, and you can only jump a short distance from object to object. So part of it is finding the path through the objects that'll get you to where you need to be in the environment. So, for example, you'll be inhabiting a cart that has a bowl of donuts on it. So you activate the cart to roll it across the room to where it needs to be, and then you jump into the bowl of donuts and shake it so that a donut falls on the floor, and then you jump into a cabinet, and so that when the rat comes up to grab the donut, you flip the door of the cabinet open and knock the rat under the couch, and then the dog that happens to be nearby chases the rat, which alerts another character in the room. And it's sort of like a Rube Goldberg style puzzle.
And you figure this out by trial and error.
Yeah, it's trial and error. The way every scene starts is that this lady detective has been killed, and so you're rewinding time 4 minutes to before she was killed, and then you have 4 minutes to prevent it.
Okay.
And at any time you can start back over, or if you fail, it takes you back to the beginning of the 4 minutes.
Okay, so it's constructed such that that's the whole goal, is like replay.
What does it look like? Is it like 3D?
No, it's
escape the room.
It's 2D basically. It's animated sprites. They're really nicely animated. They're really elaborately animated. The characters all move very fluidly and cool.
I want to play it, but I can't because I can't update my phone.
Because your phone is weird.
Because bleh.
Put it on the company iPad.
Okay. I don't know what version of the OS that thing has. Hmm. I'll brick it. I don't care. I don't give a fuck.
The other thing I've been playing was World of Warcraft.
Yeah? How's that going? You're leveling your other druid?
Yep, leveling my other druid. I started playing it again Friday, and up between Friday and
Tuesday
evening, I got from level 17 to 52.
That seems insane.
Which, yeah, it strikes me as absurd, and I kind of wonder if Blizzard is maybe shooting themselves in the foot by listening too much to the vocal minority of raiders to the detriment of the silent majority.
Are you not having fun?
Levelers.
With it? Do you feel like you're being dragged forward against your will?
I enjoy seeing new things frequently, but I feel like there's a lot that I'm missing. And so,
because you're leveling past a zone before you're even vaguely finished with the zone.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I will end up with the choice of
either going back and doing quests and
getting no benefit from them, or starting a new character where, I mean, I would much rather have a single character that I have gone through a ton of stuff with and have a connection to than a stable of 6 or 8 guys that I don't really care about.
It sounds like they have not carefully tuned experience gains to the level of content in a zone. I feel like that might be a better metric for them. Like,
I mean, I feel like that's probably the one thing that they have tuned it to. It's just that if you're doing anything else, harvesting herbs.
I'm herbing a lot. In fact, herbs has been like a lot of the decision-making process in what zone I want to go to next, because there's a few herb bottlenecks where every potion you can make in alchemy at that level requires a certain herb.
The guy I bought my car from was named Herb Bottleneck.
So it's like, all right, I guess at this level I have to go to Swamp of Sorrows because that's the only place where Saromos grows, and I have to have that.
Saromos.
It used to be called Plague Bloom. They changed all the recipes to rename the herb. I'm not sure why.
Weird.
Yeah.
That is weird. What's that all about?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't know why there's no mechanical difference. It's just they changed the name from Plague Bloom to Saromos, and every recipe is still the same.
I mean, are the Plague Lands still the Plague Lands, or are they just like Sad City West and Sad City East?
The Plague Lands were a lot of fun, actually. I did on purpose go to the Plague Lands because that was one of my favorite areas. And Western Plaguelands has changed a lot. The Scourge has been pushed back, and Anderhal is occupied by Alliance troops now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Eastern Plaguelands is looks like a totally mostly new game the same, to play. But Eastern Plaguelands has a neat quest where you've got like a couple of paladins that want to join up Light's Hope Chapel that follow you around through a quest chain throughout the entire Eastern Plaguelands, and that was a lot of fun.
Huh. Sounds like they've totally changed the entire game.
Yep.
It's weird.
And I've only got like a couple hours to go, I guess, before I hit 60 and can start flying everywhere around those continents.
Wow. Do you still go to Outland at that point?
You do. They finally sped up the leveling curve in Outland, too.
Did they?
I'm curious as to how that plays, because Outland seems so dumb now compared to the just sort of the quality and distinctive things to do in the early game now. Like they just
maybe
they
it'll go so fast though that
so
it
much over time
that it won't you won't even notice.
Yeah.
Because the Outlands are very pretty
unless you
want to
stick around and fly around it to gather herbs or get all your archaeology nodes before you move on to the next area.
Are there archaeology nodes in Outland?
Yes.
Yep. Wow.
There are. Although I've leveled archaeology almost all the way without ever leaving the Western Kingdoms.
Do you have to go through the portal to get there whenever you want to go?
Yes.
Wow. That's a pain.
Although there might be, like Dalaran might have a portal to Shattrath.
Okay.
So if you're bound in Dalaran, you might be able to go to Shattrath. I don't remember if that's the case or not.
Interesting.
I've been staying in Orgrimmar all the time and just leaving to do dailies wherever or on the minor occasions that I play. Minor occasions.
But you can only play when you're in a sad mood.
Yeah. Are you having fun though?
Yeah, I've been enjoying it. I mean, I've not been...
I mean, I just... Yeah, like, the leveling speed seems weird compared to us sort of, you know, growing up with this game. But I wonder if it is actually bad. I mean, I wonder if somebody coming into this as a brand new game would be like, what the fuck, it's all a blur. Or would they just be like, sweet, I just fucking lightning bolted the shit out of some skeletons.
I also feel like, you know, we see the complainers on the forums and stuff like that, but Blizzard... way better than we've ever done in any of our game development has a lot of internal metrics. And
yeah,
so they probably
know
what they're
how much
doing.
Of my dislike of this is real and how much of it is get
nostalgia.
Off my lawn, you stinking kids.
Well, I mean, I feel like if they've made these changes, I feel like they didn't do them just because they wanted to appease vocal people in the forums or whatever. I feel like they probably did it because they saw that the majority of people who were playing at the level cap and that they resented having to level a new alt to 80 or 85 to specifically get there. And so like,
I mean, I continue to contend that there was a significant portion of the World of Warcraft player base that played the way that I did for the first 2 years that I had my account, which was to just keep leveling alts to like 25 or 30 and then abandoning them once the curve got steep. Right. Because I talked to a bunch of other people, like, you know, back in the day, talking to my pool guy, he was like, yeah, I just keep making new characters and leveling them to like 30 with my son. And as soon as he gets bored, we just like, let's go make a new character. And like, that's what we do. And that's how they played. And it's like, okay, well, so that's two. That's me and Luis, the unreliable criminal pool guy.
You don't know that he was a criminal.
Let's talk about our pool guy.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people who played World of Warcraft like that. That they just made a bunch of it. Like,
I mean, I feel like
it is
the
anecdotal.
Statistics that I've heard of number of people who actually raid was astonishingly low, something like 5%.
I mean, this was a long time ago.
The thing is, you know, they have all the real numbers inside and they're making these decisions with those numbers.
Well, What I am suggesting is that they saw, all right, so there's all these people that maintain interest in the game
through level 30
through this amount of time.
Yeah.
So let's just make it so earning that amount of experience gets you significantly closer to this goal, because we also have data that suggests that if you get to level 45, you are way more likely to finish and get to the level cap than if you get to level 20,
right?
Or whatever, right? So I mean, it's, you know,
yeah, no, I mean,
really, you can look at this data because we don't know anything. You can look at it and you can use it to as backup for whatever pet theory you have, and that's the awesome thing.
I'd love to talk to the people who have actual numbers at Blizzard and see why they made decisions.
Yeah, they wouldn't tell us anything.
They might. I mean, I don't think they would, but it would be awesome if they would.
Sure.
If we couldn't tell anybody else.
It would be nice to have, like, a radio that we could tune to any place and time in history.
Hmm.
I mean, because that's what I would do. I would just want to learn stuff about World of Warcraft. What would you do if you had that radio?
I mean, because I don't speak other languages, how would I do that?
Because
I don't speak Aramaic.
You wouldn't be able to go back very far. But I mean, what you could do is you could find a place where they were teaching an Aramaic 101.
Yes, that's true.
Uh-huh.
I could just go back slowly, go back to sort of Middle English and then Old English.
Oh, yeah, I wonder if it would be possible to listen to it to the point where you just learn to speak every language if you went through the transition period.
Yeah.
Right, like that montage in that Antonio Banderas movie that was based on the Michael Crichton book, The 17th Warrior or something, it was based on Eaters of the Dead.
Yeah, but not exactly based on Beowulf.
There's a montage where he learns a language of some people that he's hanging out with.
I remember being kind of impressed by that moment.
By that montage,
But not by much else.
Yeah.
I mean, in what was it? The original Stargate movie. He figured out that they actually spoke ancient Egyptian or whatever and was able to start reading all of their writing because he was able to figure out what the phonetic correlates were or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Even though no one has actually spoken ancient Egyptian in thousands of years or whatever.
I mean, he also was enough of an expert to know that in order to locate one point in space, you need only know seven points in space.
Yeah.
Ah, boy. What else you been playing, Riff?
That was it. WoW and Ghost Trick.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Kevin?
So I mostly played The Assignment this past week, but I've been getting back into the
What did anything interesting happen when the AI took over my ships?
No.
Oh,
yeah. AI did not do anything at all interesting. Sorry.
Oh, well.
No, so I got back into...
Yeah, it just went down to the bottom of the ocean to pray at some fairy statue, and then there was some weird alien thing that happened later, but only for a day, and so I didn't even log on during that period of time.
Yeah, it was boring. I've been getting back into Professor Layton, the last Spectre. I had put it down because I was getting pretty dissatisfied with it. I kind of thought that the little mini games were a little bullshit and the puzzles were not all that interesting, but I decided to stick it through and it starts picking up steam in the second half. The puzzles are a lot more interesting. I'm having a lot more fun solving them than I was with the first 30 or 40 of them.
Maybe it's literally picking up steam and downloading additional puzzles from the Steam cloud.
That's possible. So that's been fun. I'm probably 80 or 90% through it at this point.
I saw you playing it last night. I was surprised. It had been a while since I had seen you playing a DS game.
I mean, Christmas is when I got it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've been playing it in the mornings. Like I get up and play it for an hour or so.
It's your constitutional.
Yes. And then I was excited because, Tiny Heroes came out with an update this past week and it was like, ooh, new, level pack. I'll go play that. And so I went to Tiny Heroes and I went to play. I went to the campaigns and I was like, huh, it did that thing where I don't have access to my campaigns. I better download them all again. And I went to download one, which I had already finished. I'd beaten all the levels, gotten 3 stars on everything. And it was like, if you want this, it'll be $2. I'm like, what? This was free. I've already played through all this content. I've beaten this. Like, I just want to have it as a record of stuff. I don't even really want to play these levels again. I don't want to pay you $2 for them. And they basically removed all of the content from the game that I had already played and beaten and wanted to charge me for it. And I just sort of looked at it for a while and I'm like, I feel violated by this. You gave me this game for free. You know, I think it was free. I don't remember if I had to pay.
I don't think it was. I think
I paid for the game.
Yeah, I think you bought the game. Yeah.
And so it had all this content, which I assumed was mine, that I could play whenever I wanted to, and you have removed it. You've taken it away from me and now want me to charge me for it. And it was just such a violation of my trust that I kind of just closed the program, and I don't think I'm going to go back to it. I think...
Or any other game by those guys. They get a weird scene. That company has, like... So they did the weird, like, sort of asshole KOL ripoff... Which upset me a lot. It, you know, I don't think I should be able to sue them for it, but I do think that they were kind of being buttholes and disingenuous about the whole thing. But that just flopped, as near as I can tell. Their daily active users on Facebook are like in the hundreds now, which seems like just complete failure. And there were like 30 dudes' names in the credits of that game. The only other thing that we're like aware of that they did was that
the CEO
just by himself did GeoDefense and GeoDefense Swarm,
super
yeah, which are like
game.
Two of my favorite iOS games of all time. But apparently, like, he's never felt like it was worth it to release any more level packs, even though, I mean, I would just buy
an arbitrary number
of them that he was willing to sell me.
Yep.
On that.
The Tiny Heroes thing, just it was like
sucks.
A double slap in the face, because like it had been, I don't know, a month or two since I had played any of the levels. I got stuck on their like hardest level pack, and just couldn't make any progress. And I was like, you know, I really like these guys. They did good. I want to give them some extra money. I really want them to encourage them to come out with this next level pack, which, you know, I've been waiting for or whatever. I'll go ahead and buy their like dollar in-app purchase, you know, defense upgrade. I have never used any of those defenses because they weren't available in the hardest level pack. I wasn't going to go back and play old levels for them or whatever. So I like gave them a dollar just to be like, here you go. You know, I'm still interested in this thing. Come on, come out with more stuff. And then like saw the update when I, you know, in the little iTunes update thing, and was like super excited about it. And then it just felt like a knife in the back.
It's one thing.
It was
to,
weird.
It is
it
one
super
thing to
weird.
Start charging for something that used to be free. Like that's okay. I mean, you know, it's a free market, but to
remove it
to
from
remove
my app.
It from people who had already had already gotten it when it was free seems like it just seems like a weird move to me.
Yeah, I don't understand the rationale. I'm tempted to write them an email and be like, hey, what's up with this? Like, you know, I understand there's probably some economic motivation for this, but it's you have basically lost me as a customer because of this choice. And I was going to be a loyal customer that was going to buy all of your future stuff. And now you've just cost yourself all that future revenue. And I don't know how many other people are like me out there. So
I mean, do it.
See what they say. Yeah, I mean, maybe I will. Maybe they're listening to this podcast right now.
Maybe they are. Like right while we're like, maybe they're like outside.
Well, no, they have one of those radios.
Oh, okay. They're going back. So they wanted to see if we said anything like off the air.
Right.
Like, oh, those guys are total dicks.
Yeah.
I heard they smell bad.
I heard they smell bad.
I got to remember to edit this out.
My synesthesia kicks in.
Yeah.
How about you? What you been playing?
Oh, I downloaded a game that I read about off of, so I timed this. I was like, I want to play a game on Xbox Live Arcade. I've now decided that I'm going to go play an Xbox Live Arcade game. 1 hour and 10 minutes later, after the devotion of all of my efforts in the intervening time to playing this Xbox Live Arcade game, I was playing the Xbox Live Arcade game.
How long did you play it?
Oh, probably an hour. Yeah. So,
so you turned on the Xbox. It's like there are system updates.
Well, no. What happened was my Xbox Live account had apparently the credit card had expired.
Okay.
And I logged into my like ancient ass email address, saw the notifications. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'll go.
How did you get an email address at ancientass.com?
It was weird. It was super cheap back in the day. It was like a beer.com. You could just get an address there for free.
Nice.
Some merry prankster registered the domain and decided to share it with everyone. It was like, all right, your Xbox Live account is your credit card expired. And there were just all these warnings that just said, to deal with this, go to support.microsoft.com or something. I'm like, okay. So I negotiate my way through that support website, managed to log into a Windows Live account.
Right.
After going through the password reset or whatever, because I don't know what the fuck. Finally figured out that was not actually the place that I needed to go. I needed to go to some Xbox.com account maintenance thing.
Uh-huh.
It immediately knew who I was, so I think it was the same account.
Same credentials,
Yeah. And so then I was like, all right, well, I'll update my credit card information. So now it says valid subscription will auto-renew January 1st, 2013 or something. I'm like, okay. So I was like, well, my Xbox points balance is zero, which seems suspicious because I don't think that I would have been able to spend exactly the amount of points that I had.
They're getting rid of Xbox points for whatever
it's
worth.
So I was like, all right, well, you know what? I know I'm going to want to there's probably a bunch of stuff that I've missed because I haven't messed around on Xbox Live Arcade for a while. So I'm just going to do the like biggest point level. So I just put in like $70 and got, you know, 6,000 points or whatever it is that they give you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, so they did this transaction. They sold me the points. I went downstairs, went back to the Xbox, tried to sign in to Xbox Live, and it was like, this is an invalid Xbox Live account. So I'm like, what the fuck? So I like reboot a couple times, and it, for whatever reason, the Xbox keeps automatically signing in to Chris Moyer's account, his profile on the Xbox, because he had made one because he wanted to play something when he was visiting. I went back upstairs to the computer. Eventually, like four trips up and down between the computer and the Xbox to do this, but found my way into the point where it was like, set up a subscription or like subscribe to Xbox Live or whatever. At no point on any of these web pages did it say your account is inactive. Like it was just it seemed like everything was okay. You sold me a bunch of points that I then could not use because you sold me these points without me actually having an active subscription, apparently. And I don't even remember how I ended up getting in and reactivating the subscription, but I did. It did another thing where it actually said, hey, we're going to charge you $50 or whatever it is for the year. So then I did it.
Is
it
like a gold membership or something?
Yeah, it's just their thing. Yeah, so then I went downstairs and I was like, okay. So I logged into Xbox Live and then waited for 10 minutes worth of progress bars to go across because it needed to update
stuff.
And then I was like, looking around trying to find this game in the games marketplace, and I still don't really know how to get to the indie games thing, except that what I did was it was like search by game type, which I assumed meant like genre or something, but when I went in there it was like Xbox Live Arcade games, indie games, something else game. So I went to indie games and found it. And then I played it, and I got a demo of another game that I played, and that's what I'm going to talk about right now. The game that I downloaded and played was called Brand, and it was like the Goonies, but from the perspective of Mikey's older brother. No, not really. That'd be awesome, though.
That would be great.
Right? So you spend the first level trapped in a chair because you've been tied to it with a slinky chest exerciser thing. And then later on, you have to watch somebody else kiss the girl that you like. it is a game, and I really like the idea of this game, but the execution is a little. They give you a lot of disclaimers when you get something from the Xbox Live Indie setup thing. They're like, yeah, no refunds on this, and no one has ever looked at this game to make sure it's not some total bullshit ripoff. Like, okay, thanks.
Which is just not true at all, because they are the vetting process takes forever.
With the indie stuff, I don't know.
Really?
Their thing claims that no one from Microsoft has vouched for this or even seen it necessarily.
What?
Which
I don't buy that even a little bit.
Who knows, man? Who knows?
You may be purchasing a screensaver of dicks.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's called Brand, and it's about a sword, and there were some skeletons that you could kill. So I was like, hey, this looks pretty awesome.
That's like right
so
up your alley.
The way that it works is that there are three, it's like a 3D display, 2D movement in these big platformer levels with Castlevania-style map of and layout. It's just arcadey, jumpy, hit things with a sword. And then there's a town with three places that you can go. And each of those places has three upgrade paths for this magic sword. The beginning of it is this dude, terrible, terrible art. And he hands you this sword. And he's like, make this a sword fit for a king. Okay. So then what you have to do is each of the nine upgrade paths on the sword that adds new like features and abilities to the sword or whatever has five levels in it.
So 45 levels.
Once you've put 15 levels of upgrades into the sword, you go to some final level where you have like a big boss fight or something.
Okay.
And then that's the game. And there's just multiple paths through it because you can pick different enchantments to put on your sword at various levels of power. And so each of them has a little quest associated with it. And you say like, all right, I want to, I want to just make this sword, upgrade it to a better metal so that that like amplifies the effects of the enchantments that are on it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so he sends you into the mines to get some ore. And then for the next one, he sends you into the castle to find the forge. And then, you know, there's another one that's like, I want the wizard in town to put some fire on my sword. And so he's like, all right, go to the mines and get some fire ore. And then there's just all these environmental things that become parts of whatever little quest you get assigned.
Right.
Mm. Frustrating load times and I think only 4 enemy models.
Wow.
Yeah. The enemies in the castle, the mine, and the necropolis all just the same, which was like a little disappointing. Game that would have, again, there was no reason for it to be in 3D.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's just the engine or how
I'm not saying that there was no, like,
they finished the game
and they were like, what the fuck? where did all these textures come from and stuff? But I'm saying I think it would have been a better game if it had just had some nice 2Ds. Sprites and hundreds of different kinds of enemies as opposed to 3, 4. I guess there was a manticore sort of.
That's like 3 enemies right there in one.
Okay, sure. Anyway, so I mean, it was not a great game, but it was a cool game. I don't regret paying the $5 for it or whatever that I paid.
Well, but it was like 80 hours of your time.
Well, you know.
Those trips up and down the stairs, you're not getting back.
Okay.
It's exercise.
Yes, but if he had wanted exercise, he could have paid for some other kind of exercise program.
Yeah, I could have bought the treadmill game. I also downloaded a demo of LCD Dungeon System, which was kind of clever.
Ooh.
It's you don't actually want to play it. it is an Xbox, you know, it's like Xbox Live Indie Arcade. I think it costs $1 if you actually want to buy it, but it is just a simulation of a 3D dungeon maze, but in an LCD format, totally true to it. So you can see everything that it is possible for it to display. There is no overlap at all.
Wow.
Yeah, it's super, super boring.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It was a clever concept, but it was more like, I would have been happier with it.
Piece,
yeah, I would have been happier with it on the wall of a museum rather than
very, very accurate simulation of what was actually a very boring style of game back in the day.
Yeah. And then I've been playing a bunch of Hero Academy still. I'm so bad at it.
That's the
Final Fantasy with friends.
But asynchronous.
Yeah. It works out pretty well, actually. I've thought a lot about why Words with Friends is good and why I think a lot of games would not work well in the asynchronous sort of mode. And it's because Words with Friends, I think, gives you a lot to think about on a per move basis. Because there are a lot of different moves that you can make on a Scrabble board, and you can put things out to see how they're going to be, and you get to play with it a lot. With this, you get 5 actions, and you can just run them to see what happens and rewind.
Right.
And then when it doesn't actually take effect until you submit the turn. So you're like, well, if I run this person up there, are they going to be able to kill this guy? And you just do it. And like, nope, one turn short of being able to kill this guy, I guess I should try something else.
Do you do stuff and then it has an effect and then the other person gets a chance to do stuff? Like, it's not like you each put in moves and then stuff stops happening simultaneously.
No, you put in your 5 moves.
And then
You submitted them, that they happen to that guy, and then he can play with his 5 moves, and then once he submits them, it comes back to you.
That's interesting.
It is. I mean, it's you know, a lot of people are playing it.
That's cool.
It's all over the podcosphere.
Something that I haven't been playing, but that I've been watching my girlfriend play a lot of, is Peggle.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she has been playing a lot of Peggle.
She beat the adventure mode or whatever, so she got through the regular game, and she's been doing the challenge levels. And like, I stand by my initial assessment when she started looking around for a new game to play. I was like, not Peggle. That game is so dumb. It is dumb.
It's pretty dumb, but
it's engaging.
I spent a number of hours playing Peggle on my phone.
Good job of making that really kind of dumb system into something that, you know, is an enjoyable toy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not much of a game, I feel like. There's definitely, you definitely acquire some skill, you know, and like,
yeah,
on the challenge
like
levels, there's a lot of
skill for like the first bounce, and then after everything after that is random pretty much.
Yeah, but there's a lot of tactics involved in like trying to get 400,000 points on a level or something. Like, there's a lot of thinking that goes into that. So, you know, that's been interesting. And then she's been playing some Dragon Age and just being completely mystified by the interface and what she needs to do at any
she
given
seems
moment.
She put
like
a lot of hours into it without really having any idea of what's going on.
It's interesting.
Which is a testament to it. I mean, I played it for several hours
and just kind of
just
up
had
on it.
No idea what the fuck I was doing, in combat, but it was like, okay, that was confusing, but I guess I won, so whatever, and then I just kind of gave up on it.
I was trying to help her navigate the 3D spaces and, like, the combination of the, I think, the console controls and the kind of not-so-great mini-map, and me not knowing how the game works very well, it was probably just more frustrating for me to tell her where things were, but, man.
Nobody likes a backseat driver.
Sure, sure. I have a hard time watching other people play games in 3D space if they're not like really on top of getting around the map.
Yeah, I know you always get frustrated with me and Riff because we're terrible at understanding where the fuck anything
so
is.
Bad. I'm like, you've been down to this corridor before. Why are you going back? You're going back the way you came. You just came.
There were three branches in here. You explored one of them three times, and you haven't been in the third one yet. And the second one. Yeah. And why are you leaving? What? I got all three of the empty treasure chests in this cave. Like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah. But it's, you know, playing Skyrim, I was pleased the three or four times that I have, like, gone through as something and then popped out of the little cave at the end that, like, puts you right back near the entrance, and I didn't notice that before, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That was something that was, like, a feature of the 3D environment that was there from the beginning that I didn't even notice, and now I'm back. Like, that is really good level design.
That one, the one particularly that amused me that it did that was the one with the guy pretending to be a ghost. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
Where
Oh, I felt so bad for him.
Yeah.
I felt really, really bad. That one is less obvious because there's secret doors.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm talking about the ones where there's just a cave that you could have gone down to begin with or whatever. But I don't know if you've done this one yet. There's a guy pretending to be a ghost, and he's been in this barrel for a year looking for this treasure, and you end up killing him because he attacks you or whatever. But
he gets like. The barrow crazy. Drives him crazy,
But he has literally been 10 feet away from it. His bed is like 10 feet away from the treasure. It's just on the other side of a secret door that's like a one-way door.
When you're leaving, the secret door opens and you're back in the guy's room again. And it was
I think I did.
You poor bastard.
I'm sure that was intentional. You're supposed to be like, ugh.
The level design in Skyrim was a lot less inclined to get you lost than the level design in Fallout. Like, that's Fallout had these really honeycombed environments with a lot of different parts of it.
There's definitely ruins. Like, learning a new city takes me a while. Like, and that's actually been interesting. Yeah. I've been, like, I started actively thinking about what it meant to explore a city, because I will basically start just taking all the right turns and be like, okay, what's over here? Okay, I see how this sort of curves around. And, like, I have to, like, build a map. Mm. And then once I've got that map, I can sort of just run around wherever.
Yeah, I never got used to any of the city layouts until I bought a house there.
Huh.
And had to actually start remembering how to get from the entrance to my house and from my house to the armory.
That's kind of one of the reasons I like Whiterun, because the house is just right there.
Yeah, I still don't really know. I could not draw you an even rudimentary map of Whiterun.
Really?
Yeah, like, I know... If I want to get to any of the places that I know are accessible from that, like, circular town square, I look around until I can see the circular town square, and then I go there, and then I look around to see whatever it is that I want to go to, like the companions hall or whatever. One of the mods that I saw on the mod marketplace, I was browsing through it. I wanted to spend some more time looking at this so that I could talk about some of them, but I just didn't get a chance. One of them was a project that a guy is undertaking, and he's done with Whiterun and Riften to actually place the cities in the world.
Oh, huh.
Instead of instancing them through the gates.
Really?
Yeah. To just have them, like, I think he has just gotten rid of the walls in some cases.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. It's just to make it feel more like a real thing.
So you could, like, jump over the walls at any point and
out
in the world.
Yeah, not be stuck in that weird fake world. I don't think
it's
matters.
It's such a minor detail.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but, you know, whatever. This guy's
You never get attacked by dragons in the cities. Mm. So that's a thing. So, you know, if they're out in the world, true. Dragons could attack. You could have monsters come in. That's a thing, maybe.
I saw one that was, like, added a bunch of trees to Whiterun to make it a little nicer.
Huh.
And then there was a patch note that was like, made it so you could also see those trees from outside the city, because it's, like, an entirely different place that he had to put all the trees to make that happen.
That's funny.
A lot of the mods are just, like, a sweet house that I built by this particularly nice-looking lake, and here are all the features in the house. And, like, so if you install this, you'll just have this house and you own it. Which is what a lot of the Fallout mods were. It was just like, here's a cool house that you can have somewhere. in the world that there isn't normally a house.
It's a very strange mod architecture.
Yeah, it is. I don't get what they're doing with a lot of it. There was a mod that puts the space sphere from Portal 2.
Wait, can you just build your own dungeons and stuff?
I think so.
Interesting. So like this could be one of those ways that you could like make a name for yourself by making cool curated dungeon content. You can populate it with monsters and traps and stuff?
Yeah, I'm assuming that you can. I mean, if you can build a house at some lake and put a
right
enchanting bench in it or whatever, I mean, I'd like...
Yeah. Huh. So, like, I mean, I feel like a lot of people have sort of gotten their foot in the door in the video games industry by, like, being a particularly good member of a mod community.
Yeah, I don't know of any... levels. I don't know of any specific stories about anything other than sort of like Half-Life or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure it's
Counter-Strike people and stuff like that?
Which was a Half-Life mod. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Like, all of the stories that you actually know are about Half-Life mods that got popular.
Is it because that set of tools was really good?
It might also be because Valve is particularly interested in poaching that kind of talent.
Okay.
Right. I don't know of any stories of anybody who's gotten a job because of a super sweet Oblivion mod that they wrote. But I don't doubt that there is that, right?
I mean, it's something you put in your portfolio.
Exactly. Anytime when people are you go to a how do I break into the video games industry, like have something that you've made, even if it's just some random mod to like I put different textures on all the books in Oblivion or whatever.
I rewrote all the books to be awesome.
To be good. Oh man, we should do a just hilarious book redo.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think we might want to collaborate on this.
Your face is so precious.
I bet I could do it with all generated text too.
The books are different every time you open them.
Oh, it's great. They're just all Wabbajack all the time. Sorry, every weapon has the Wabbajack enchantment.
Wabbajack.
All enemies are replaced with Zoidberg, not just the mud crabs. Okay.
Sweet, gigantic segment, bro.
What's in the news? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, so the most interesting story from the past couple of days is this. I hope this turns out to be a real thing.
Yeah.
Tim Schafer was being interviewed maybe a week ago about various things, and one of the things somebody asked was like, "What about Psychonauts 2?" And he's like, "Ah, sure. As soon as somebody wants to give us $2 million to make the game," and apparently Notch, the maker of Minecraft, saw that interview and looked up on Double Fine's website, like how to get in touch with Tim Schafer, and he's like, tweet at us. So he tweeted, "How many millions?" P.S. I'm serious, right? And so apparently he and Tim Schafer are actually in potential talks about the possibility of funding Psychonauts 2.
And Mojang seems like they're trying to go more on the publisher side and not the develop AAA titles side. Which
I mean,
is,
they've just got this, right now, they've got this crazy money machine. Like, it's been interesting hearing our friends with kids talk about how their kids have gotten into Minecraft and they're getting all of their friends into Minecraft. Mm-hmm. And each of those is like 20 more bucks in Notch's pocket, potentially.
Well,
you know?
I mean, he's in Sweden, so it's probably 4 more bucks in his pocket, right?
But it is some significant money.
Yeah.
And so
this is not to say that he is not a multi millionaire at this point, right? But
so the fact that he has some millions to throw around to fund awesome projects is great.
It's a weird idea, though. I mean, I feel like the reason that there isn't the money in the industry at large for Tim Schafer to make another Psychonauts is because the industry believes that it is not a good idea in terms of earning any money to make and release another Psychonauts
is not big on taking an interesting risk.
So
sure.
Something I was just reading, there's a group of people together who have put together a thing called the Indie Fund. It's been around for, I think, 2 years.
Yeah, we talked about this the other day. Because Cube was the first one to actually release, and it made back its money.
And so they have just changed their funding guidelines, which it doesn't necessarily mean a lot for most people, but what it does allow them to do is they basically make their money back faster and then get out of the project sooner. than they were doing before, where if a project was successful, they would be getting residuals for a long time in their prior model. Mm-hmm. They now sort of, if they make back 100% of what the loan was, like, so they get back the money that they loaned out for you to develop the game, and then they'll make an extra 100%, and then they're done. Hmm. Instead of having just sort of a in perpetuity,
oh, okay.
or like for 3 years, they'll make 1% or whatever, which allows them to, if you look at all the numbers that they posted, allows them to fund things at a much smaller scale, like the $10,000 range, without as much fear of just losing all that money. Hmm. And so what they want to do is fund riskier projects that really push boundaries and are not like sort of conventional things. Their former model really sort of encouraged them to fund things that were going to be successful so that they wouldn't just lose all the money.
Right.
Because I think they funded Shadow Physics to the tune of like $90,000, and that project has just been shelved. So like,
sure.
Right,
so
now all of that money is just gone.
So everybody always talks about, like, you know, what if one studio, instead of a $30 million movie,
right,
just funded, you know, 300 $100,000 movies, and probably if you did that, one of them would be pretty good, right?
Sure.
But this is not really like that, right? Like, this is, as a prestige product, developing a AAA title with a many, many million dollar budget, and as far as the world is willing to tell us, not much of an audience.
I don't know.
Because Psychonauts is really well regarded,
yeah.
right? But it still didn't make any money. I mean, they might be making some now. If Double Fine is getting the money from people buying Psychonauts on GOG.cock or whatever, like, that's great.
Or Steam, right?
Sure. But, you know, I mean, I just don't know. Like, it's, I want it to happen.
Yeah,
right? But it is very much like
there's
an extremely
a lot of games
risky,
where
they,
like the first game
project,
didn't
right?
really catch hold, but the sequel did, you
like
know?
Star Control 2.
Yes.
I don't know. Did Star Control 2 make very much money?
I don't know, financially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It may also just be that the reason Psychonauts originally didn't do very well was just a marketing problem.
Yeah, I worry about that too.
You think?
Like, it's hard to categorize, you know?
It's also hard to play.
I don't remember it.
Hard to enjoy for a lot of people, right? I mean,
only if you're bad at video games.
Sure, which a lot of people are.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. I totally fell in love with Psychonauts and then totally fell out of love with it.
I loved it from the first moment that I saw it, which was like three or four years ago. Mm-hmm. Somebody was playing it at the office, and I was like, ooh, I really want to play that game, but I didn't have anything that could play it. And as soon as it was available for Mac, I jumped
sure,
on it,
sure,
and
sure.
I was super psyched about it.
Right, right.
You know, and I feel like other people given that opportunity would also fall in love with it.
It's just a matter of getting it's a bad game. I'm saying, so
If Mojang
wants to pay...
No.
$2 million.
No, I know.
If Mojang wants to pay $10 million for one copy of a game that is really amazing in their imagination, then more power to
it. If Mojang funds it and they put a little link to it in their Minecraft launcher or something, then that's millions of people who wouldn't have necessarily seen it before that are suddenly going to be like, oh, what's that? Right? Like,
yep.
They have an audience the same way that Zynga does.
It is entirely possible that it could be like a big, great, amazing thing.
Yeah.
But... It's not a sure thing.
No, I know, right. I know. It's
the
just,
fact, the fact
I
that,
desperately want it to exist, so I am
sure,
trying to come
yeah.
up with all possible fictions
and,
in which that is a
I mean,
a
if
thing.
If Marcus wants to die on that cross so that the world can have, so that the world can have a Psychonauts 2.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm also not sure how much faith I have in Tim Schafer to make a AAA title, right? Like, after
can he just do a double A,
Brutal
maybe,
Legend?
Or just,
sure.
just an A title?
Yeah, he could do like a D title. It's like heavier, but it lasts longer. You know, right now they're making these little watch batteries to great effect, right?
Oh, like, I thought you were talking about some sort of meth lab.
They're making cool games, very small teams, very small budgets, and they're
yeah,
making
they're
awesome.
They're dividing the teams up badly because
they're
like,
making awesome stuff.
Because you know, if you take Costume Quest and Stacking, right, like they each had some awesome parts and some terrible parts, and those parts did not overlap in a Venn diagram sort of way.
Well, what were the terrible parts of Costume Quest?
The writing, right? Wasn't the writing bad?
The writing was great.
Was the writing terrible in Stacking?
I never played Stacking.
In one of the, I didn't, okay. I've not played either one's through. Like, one of them, the writing was terrible, and one of them,
I mean,
graphics,
Stacking,
the graphics
the gross
kind
out
of...
fake candy was was not as good.
I think the writing and stacking was not very good, and I feel like the, you know, the graphics in Costume Quest was very stylized but not great. You know, it wasn't right. Like
Costume Quest is great, and we haven't played Iron Brigade or whatever they had to change Trenched to. Yeah.
Trenchmouth.
But people speak very highly of it.
Okay.
And this, their Kinect thing seems pretty cool too. This thing that just came out.
Are you going to get a Kinect?
It's just like a kid's toy. I might someday get a Kinect.
You're not in the mood.
No. I mean, there's been nothing. Gunstringer, I want to go to somebody's house and play Gunstringer, but I'm not going to buy a Kinect to play.
Mm. Right.
You know, like I'm not going to buy a $150.
That's the marionette.
Yeah.
The marionette.
I'm not going to buy a $150 peripheral to play a $5 game.
Right.
Like that just seems, yeah, you know, although.
It's like a $300 peripheral or whatever.
Is it? Is that $300 to get a Kinect? Is it?
I don't know.
Huh. I mean, it's not even $300 to get an Xbox anymore.
All right.
Yeah. What else do you got on here?
So Star Wars The Old Republic released their sales and subscriber numbers. They sold over 2 million units in the first, month and a half or whatever.
How many of them were immediately returned because they had a bad motivator?
I don't know. and they... After the first free month, they currently have 1.7 million paid subscribers. So that is probably the strongest showing that any MMO has had besides World of Warcraft in the West, I think.
The mood that I feel and that the people who talk about MMOs on the internet that I read feel is that it's the bloom is already kind of off the rose. But that does not indicate anything.
Yeah.
Right. It indicates that a lot of people who were burned out on World of Warcraft 3 or 4 years ago are already burned out on a thing that's very similar to World of Warcraft. And
from 3 or 4 years
ago. Yeah, has not managed to rekindle that spark. Exactly.
I mean, it's one of those things that you need to give it 6 months to see what happens. But this is very encouraging to me because I was worried that they wouldn't even have 1 million subscribers. So they broke that sort of magical number.
I hope that they get the opportunity to work. I mean, they have kept their sort of A-team.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of them are in jail for a crime they
didn't commit.
They've kept their A-team on, you know, according to them at least. And so they're getting to do all
of the things.
They
would be dumb if they released them in the first year or two.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long the lead World of Warcraft guys stuck around.
At least a year or two, I think.
Yeah,
so, I think they saw through up until Outland at least.
Through Burning Crusade, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that works out, right? It could also be to hear a lot of people talk, like, this not really being a huge success will indicate that this kind of game is just over. Like, World of Warcraft was like a one shot thing, and it's.
I mean,
just done. Like, in the same way that there weren't MMOs 20 years ago, there won't be MMOs 10 years from now, except as a niche thing.
Yeah, I feel like people are trying
click adventures.
People are trying too hard to be, you know, universal. And maybe the idea is you get your million players and you're happy with them as those million players. And Zynga canceled a game that had 750,000 regular players because it wasn't successful enough.
Hmm.
And this was something I probably should have put in the news that I don't have enough details to I don't remember what game it was. It was some gardening quest or something. But a lot of people had, bought in app or virtual items in that game. And it's kind of unclear what's going to happen, if anything, to those. I think they're probably just going to go away. And there's just people wondering okay, we're getting to the point where people have spent significant money on virtual goods. And what are the repercussions if companies want to shut down this project? Is there any recourse for people to get their goods?
Yeah. I mean, how would they?
I don't know.
Right. I mean,
that's a question that might not make any sense.
What does it even mean?
Yeah.
It's weird to try and have any sort of legal precedent set when nothing has ever really gotten to the point where it could have been tested yet.
Yep.
You know? There's a lot of stories coming out of China. There's the occasional story coming out of China about I murdered this dude because he stole my sweet sword, and then they were like, oh, that's okay, he deserved it. Murder is legal if they griefed you in lineage
2
or whatever.
Yeah,
saw a guy playing lineage 2 once, looked super fucking boring.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. So you hinted this earlier that Bethesda and Valve have put together a clearinghouse for Skyrim mods.
Yeah, it seemed really naturally integrated into Steam.
Are they free? Are some of them for pay? Like, what's the story with those?
I didn't see prices listed on any of them, okay. So I'm assuming that they're all free.
They might all be free. I was just curious, like, because it seemed like part of this would be like, oh, this would also be a good way for people to charge for particularly cool mods.
I wonder how mind-boggling it would be if you just downloaded all of them.
The game, like,
I'm
what
sure
are,
that yeah. there are a lot of them conflicting that are mutually yeah. exclusive, but yeah. so.
Like the ones that make the dragons into My Little Ponies versus the ones that make them into Macho Man.
Yeah, yeah. Macho My Little Ponies. Sony posted a $2 billion third quarter loss, which is just more in their sort of 4-year trend of losses. This one was particularly bad because it included the quarter that had Christmas and Christmas sales in it. Hmm. So they've just recently switched CEOs. The new CEO is the guy who launched, the PlayStation, I think. Like he was the product manager, or the team leader for something
for the PS1.
For the PlayStation. Yeah. So, and that was like their last, like super successful, system, I guess.
Do you think that Sony going out of business would have any meaningful impact on
I don't know.
Our lives at all?
They've been they were in such a sort of pole position for technology for such a long time, but like they, you know, Samsung makes better.
Now they're more of a dig dug, am I right?
Yeah. Samsung makes better displays than they do now. You know, nobody has a Walkman anymore. They don't have like the exclusive rights to CDs or DVDs or anything. Like it's just
I bought a Sony product. And then it's weird. Then I bought another product. I bought a Lego TIE Fighter yesterday on Amazon. And uh-huh. It was like, customers who bought this also bought this cassette adapter that you bought 3 days ago. okay.
Spooky.
Wonder which customer that was.
Yeah.
So yeah, anybody who buys a Lego TIE Fighter from Amazon, if you see that cassette adapter in the list, that was me.
Was it a cool TIE Fighter?
I don't know. I haven't gotten it yet.
What? Didn't you order it like a day ago?
Yeah, I ordered it yesterday. Boy, I'm putting Amazon Prime through its paces right now. A few days ago, I ordered a dryer from Amazon Prime.
Yeah, this was like multiple days ago. Has it not arrived yet?
It's not 2-day shipping. The Prime is not 2-day shipping on things that weigh 500 pounds.
The dryer should not weigh 500 pounds.
No, it doesn't, but yeah, it was like five-day shipping. It's,
okay.
It has shipped.
It's just free. Yeah,
but it's free shipping.
And then the only other news story that I saw that sort of caught my eye was that a gamer playing in an internet cafe in Taipei died, and no one noticed for 9 hours.
I think that I feel like a lot of the the Asian internet cafes, you're not like out in a room with everybody. You've got like
really,
yeah. You've
I
got like cubicles.
I thought you were like just
they
at a table.
They showed a picture. I don't know what it was a picture of. It might have just been a picture of some dude sleeping. This is a stock photo of someone sleeping with a.
The only reason that anyone came up to him was because his time
using
had expired.
A mouse on top of a trackpad.
He
and it said
he had
internet
bought
cafe.
A 23-hour pass.
Yeah.
Which do you buy them in like? That significant a chunk, and you're just going to sit there for 23 hours.
The article suggested that he died as a result of it being too
cold. Yeah,
which seems like a weird.
Yeah,
because I've heard about that. At least the ones in Japan, it will frequently be you're renting this closet with a computer in it, basically, and people use it as like cheap living accommodations. They take a bag of groceries in there. And,
interesting.
Yeah. So it's possible just if this guy had, you know, either a regular cubicle that was way off in a corner or actually had a tiny room, then,
it said people
if
saw
his card was worth
that
many hours.
Thought that
then,
he was sleeping in blackface. Yeah. What? We didn't want to... Okay, so at first we thought he was sleeping, and then when the blackface came up, we were like, we don't want to talk to that guy. He's a racist. But it turned out his face had just turned black from him being dead.
I see.
Yeah. So phase two of our assignment, Neptune's Pride.
Nicely done.
Huh?
You just said the name of the thing.
Oh, right. Yeah, I always do now. Congratulations, Abysmal Mitten, for being the best liar. You lying liar.
I don't think that was what it was based on.
He was always pretty straight with me.
Yeah.
We did some early tech dealing. Just because we were really far apart. And he was like, hey, we're really far apart. You should sell me some of your tech for some of my tech. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give you a real shitty deal for me.
I very specifically did not talk to either the people who won first or second place early in the game because I was like, oh, they're in really good spots. I'm not going to help them at all. And I want to be able to be neutral enough with them that I can't. And nothing's going to go down. And
so I think we should spend maybe less time talking about the game that we played and more time talking about the game. Right.
Okay, sure.
So after another week, do you have any different opinions of this? I feel like I was more or less done a week ago.
Yeah, I didn't log into it because I didn't want to disrupt the AI. So
what did Rift's AI do?
Nothing.
Really,
it
nothing.
Just sat on the planet?
It literally did nothing. Nothing is not quite true. It spent all of your money on upgrading your
horrors,
on upgrading your planet's infrastructures or your star's infrastructures. It never launched a single fleet, which is what I mean by nothing really. It as soon as it got taken over, Abyssal Momentum came and just took it within probably 6 hours. So
I really wanted to finish the game with my homeworld intact.
Yeah, I wanted to finish the game with my homeworld never having been taken, but Shookster, like 3 hours before the game was over, like sent a fleet at it, so I had to take it back. It was just curses. My people.
Yeah, they can live with
occupiers. So there were a couple of things that were interesting. I mean, there was definitely a bunch of like last minute treachery and stuff, which was, you know, neat. The human dynamics, super neat of the game, I think. The like everybody making alliances, breaking them, you know, convincing people to backstab other people and stuff like that. That's really where the strength of this game comes from, is like the way that it enforces human interaction.
This I thought was interesting. You can make it apparently an arbitrary number of aliases on there to play
with.
Oh,
for different games.
Yeah, which would be nice. Like, I think if I was going to play in a group of my friends, I would want to establish some ground rules that was
nobody
like,
knows.
Nobody knows who anybody else is. All communication about the game is in character. That's the only way.
Yeah, that actually would have been super nice.
People getting butthurt. And I wish I had known that it was possible to do that. The human aspects of this are interesting. Like, I'm not really pissed at anybody who did any of the things that I've dissed them about. I mean, but I have to say, I would have been pretty upset if you had betrayed me.
I thought about it a bunch of times, and I just, it was like never too, it was never so advantageous
it
to me.
It was never to your advantage, yeah.
That I ever did.
As long as, so I just need to, I know that you're never going to hurt me as long as I'm worth more to you alive.
right. I mean, the part of the problem was, but you know, by the time it was really particularly advantageous, you had such a large border with me that like I couldn't defend it all against you if you decided to counterattack, right?
Well, but the only way that I knew what to do was you telling me. So all you would have had to do was say, all right, so what you need to do now is send all of your ships to this one back world. Yeah. I would enjoy, I don't want to do it this week because I'm going to be gone for part of the 2 week period, but we had talked about moving on to try Jupiter's Folly as another assignment because it's more a thing that you can play sort of cooperatively and it has way less of a time commitment. It's broken into discrete 8 hour.
Yeah, the time commitment was by far the roughest part of this whole thing.
I mean, I chose, like I always do, to have this be, you know, like video games are my job. And they're my hobby, so letting them become more than either of those things is just hugely dangerous.
Jobby.
And so I just don't.
Technically, I found a couple of interesting things about the game. Like, I had one star that had a bunch of fleets on it of different sizes, and it got attacked by a large incoming fleet, and I lost, like, half the fleets. And I was like, why did that happen? So, like, it, you know, there must be some algorithm it takes away the ships from the star first, and then it starts just taking away ships from the fleets. And once all the ships are gone from a fleet, it just destroys that carrier and stuff like that. So like I began to, every time a bunch of carriers would come to a planet, I reduced them all to one ship so that they wouldn't get destroyed, which is just seems like a tedious thing. Like that would be nice if the game just did that for you. There were a couple of times where multiple fleets arrived at a star simultaneously.
They were talking about how it said an element of luck influenced
because
this battle.
Because there were three or more combatants in this fight, an element of luck has influenced this battle. So the way that I interpret that is they resolve them in a particular order that they decide randomly. which, interesting, you know, like you can't control that. So you could like put a monkey wrench in some other people's plans by timing fleets to arrive at the same time and stuff. Just a bunch of neat mechanics. I just wish that the game did not require such like dogged like attention, real time,
really,
real world
it
attention.
It seems like they set out to make something that didn't.
Yeah.
You know, they set out to make a game that you played, you checked in a couple times a day over the course of a few months, and you were just playing this really slow board game. But the thing is, it would have eventually gotten to this point even if we hadn't been playing at an accelerated rate. It just got there faster.
The problems were highlighted by the way that the parameters that we chose to play the game, but it would have happened anyway. And the production thing, you always will have the problem where you want to save some cash as a reserve in case you need to make an extra fleet or something like that. But before the production turn, you want to have spent all of your cash on economy so that you'll start recouping that money as quickly as possible. So you want to log in like 15 minutes before the production happens to spend any extra money you have. And then immediately after production happens, you want to spend it on industry and science so you can start getting the gains from those immediately.
Right, because those are very, very granular.
Yeah. And so like that, regardless of the time scale, and if that production happens at like 3 a.m, you're losing a bunch of efficiency.
Not having any control over when the production
turn starts
was surprising. I mean, I guess if you were doing a random game, it's probably going to start at about the time, you know, it'll probably start, you know, within an hour of you creating it, I guess.
Maybe.
If there's a sufficient number of people still playing the game, which who knows. There was another game, I don't remember the name of it, like Vox Imperium or something. It was a browser game that was sort of Civilization-y that worked like this. I was playing it a lot when we were in England.
Oh,
and right. I don't remember the name of it.
It was all little squares?
I thought it was hexes.
Might have been hexes.
But it might have been squares. I couldn't stop logging in and paying attention to it. You know,
I would keep it open in a tab and I'd like just look over, even when I knew that like nothing important was going to happen for an hour and a half, I'd still like 20 minutes later, I'd be like, I wonder if anything is happening. And I'd look at it and I'd be like, nothing has changed.
I mean, and you don't want to sign up for like a slower paced game that's going to last 3 months, because then what you're signing up for is some crazy, horrible crunch time.
3 months from now.
3 months from now at like a randomly selected time.
Yeah. There was also that bug that one of the players found.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. Crag. One of our people found a bug where you could just create an arbitrary number of ships for yourself.
Yes. He made an extra 900 ships.
Yeah, this is a common thing if you aren't careful about input validation, right? Yeah. Like it was, so when you went to move ships from one fleet to another, mm-hmm. it did a number of things. It said, okay, well, we know how many ships there are total, and you're submitting the sizes that you want the fleets to be after this. So it added them together, and if they added up to the total number of ships, then it set them to whatever you had said. So you would do like negative a million, and then 999,990 whatever, and it would say, okay, those add up to the right amount. It didn't put any negative ships, so it would give you a fleet of zero and a fleet of a million, and it was like, cool.
Yeah.
Which, you know, was like, the person that discovered it was like, yeah, I'm not doing anything else for the rest of the game, by the way, because whoa.
Yeah. So as a result of that, all of us have like a free month of premium membership.
Oh, they nice. They say that, awesome. But I have not gotten anything.
You don't get anything in the mail. It just shows up. Just look at your account.
And I did, and it didn't. Didn't seem to indicate anything. I don't know.
You might be in a weird state because you've given money in the past.
I'm looking at a website and I don't know what anything means on a website.
I definitely have a month of premium membership that will expire in March.
Well, so in like a month, we'll start a game of Jupiter's Folly.
Or in 2 weeks.
Okay.
3 weeks.
After I'm back from my little jaunt. Yeah. Next assignment, though, I think this will be a 2-week assignment.
Cool. Just by default.
Yeah, because I've already played it, and you guys should actually, you know, if you did half an hour a day, I think you'd finish it. But we're going to do Super Mario RPG.
It would be awesome if I could play it on my DS. They don't have a DS version of it.
I don't think they do. I don't know that it was particularly popular.
That's possible.
You know, it's a game that a lot of people like and look back on fondly, but
yeah,
I don't.
It's more as a nostalgic and historic interest because of the way it was sort of the precursor to the Paper Mario stuff.
I remember the first time I saw it, there was a kid. When I was working for the internet service provider, I went to somebody's house to set up like the internet on their kid's computer or whatever, and he had just gotten it and was super, super excited about it. And I watched him play the first few minutes of it, and I was like, wow, this looks really boring. And then later on I played it, and it was amazing. I love it.
Huh, okay.
Super Mario RPG for the Super Nintendo. You're going to just have to download a ROM.
Or pull out your Super Nintendo.
Yeah, which you have. I don't think that there's any way to buy it now.
Oh.
Is what I'm saying.
eBay, maybe.
Yeah, unless you find it in a used bookstore or something.
Yeah. So that's what you should do. So then the five of you that play it can talk about it on our forums.
Well, I mean, a lot of people probably have already played it, so they can just reminisce with us.
It is a cool,
probably find a Let's Play of it somewhere.
Cool fucking game.
Cool.
As I recall. I don't know. Maybe it's terrible. Maybe it'll be terrible in After That. It's got that weird isometric thing, which I normally hate. But, see, it's got mushrooms that I think restore some hit points.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Kevin, if somebody wanted to get a hold of us, how would they do it?
They could tweet us at VGHotDog. They could email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com. And they could website us, VideoGamesHotDog.com.
Riff's bugging out early. Say goodbye to everybody, Riff, if you're...
Goodbye!
Riff has to go get food.
We're going to forego our listener mail segment this week because we have run long. But we'll try to hit you up next week with your answers to all of your insightful questions.
And you listed all the things to get all of us. I wasn't paying attention.
Yes.
I was too busy being distracted by Riff leaving.
Yeah. That's it. Now it's just you and me, buddy.
It's so lonely.
We can talk about Riff all night long.
Yeah. Let's just stop doing the podcast.
Okay.